That's right. Live in Fex.org studio at 10:30 a.m. The Voice, Tucson's continuing live local organic news from the heart, body, mind, soul, and spirit of me. That's right. I had another one that had pronoun problems in it, but ladies and gentlemen, there was gunfire. I decided to keep you guys out of the gunfire thing because Sean is one of the nice guys in Tucson Radio. You know that, ladies and gentlemen. But that's my little pronoun thing. It's from Schoolhouse Rock. You remember Rufus, Xavier, Sarsaparilla. I know you all remember that from second grade. Ladies and gentlemen, we all went to public school. They taught us about pronouns. That would be pronouns for those of you that do speak English. Here I stand, ladies and gentlemen, feet firmly planted in front of God, passing out swords and shields, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you that do want to be fighting against evil every time you can. It is always about right and wrong, ladies and gentlemen. I won't even talk about right and left in here. You guys been hearing me for 3.5 years, and hardly anybody out there would know who I would vote for. Because just like my grandpa said, you ask me who I vote for, I might just go ahead and smack you in the head, Shawnee. Little Shawnee. Ain't gonna go there. I also understand one thing, ladies and gentlemen, and I will pound this into the ground as you see more and more and more and more. I don't care where you're getting your news. Acts of evil. May I reiterate? An act of evil. You're going to hear people on this radio station and on many, 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 many radio stations try to politicize an act of evil. I guess I did that one time. I politicized an act of evil. I said the Romans and the Jews pegged this dude named Jesus to a cross. I guess you could call that politicizing an act of evil. I don't care about this guy's politics. I don't care about his race. I don't care if he voted for Trump. I don't care if he's got Mein Kampf in his house. An act of evil is an act of evil. It's so simple. As Willy Wonka would say, clear as crystal, black and white. This guy stole fizzy lifting drinks, and I say he should be put out tomorrow. I'm simple on this. This will go on for 30 friggin' years. Even in Texas, it will go on for 30 friggin' years, and politicians over there and politicians over there will do what they've been doing for almost 6,000 years of written, recorded history. They will try to divide and conquer you. And along the way, Charles said it better than anybody, although he wants to use the left and right paradigm. Politicians do not want you armed. They do not want you to even say it one time. Your personal protection is your personal responsibility. God gave you this gift. You can go to Hebrews, you can go to Romans, you can go to almost anything in the Bible. It's yours. Subcontracting it away to someone is a bad idea. I'm not going to put it into the personal thing of what happened in either of these huge events. But I've always said this. It goes 3.5 years with me. I don't need to go biblical. It's very common sense and logic. It's my job. If I want to cross the street and play like Frogger, I'll tell you, I'm probably going to make it to the other side. There are people that can't. But I don't need a crosswalk, and I don't need a crossing guard, ladies and gentlemen. Never had. I play with scissors, and I run with loaded firearms. I've been doing it for a long time. I've been jumping off buildings. I've been doing things that make people sick just to watch it happen. The guys at Perfection Auto Works support my right to actually protect this precious gift from God. As I like to say, this bag of meat and bones is mine. They support me in my defense of this because they have respect. It's R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me, ladies and gentlemen. Find out. You can go check them out at 1046 North Beverly. You'll see a couple of interesting things when you go down there live, if you dare. I like to say if you dare. Have a conversation with Mike about a crazy dude like me, and you're going to go, oh, my God. These guys are brothers from another mother. We may not agree 100% politically, but I'll tell you what, on freedom, respect, honor, integrity, and strength, we are absolutely 100%, and I don't like to say the word, in lockstep. When you go down there, you know what you're going to see? The big red Ford truck. You know why you see it? It's mine. I practice what I preach, ladies and gentlemen. I'm having the top to bottom, side to side, front to back check on the big-ass red truck Big Ass Red Truck's down there. You'll also, this is kind of an unusual one, you'll also see a big white Mercedes down there, and you will see a plate that you very rarely see inside this country. It is called a diplomatic plate. The diplomats from, I probably shouldn't say the country they're from, but they decided that Mike was the place. Through doing a massive amount of research, they did it. Oh, this is early in the game. Do we dare do? Well, this is going to run me. Hold on one second, Paul. It will run me off. The guys at Perfection Auto Works want to make sure there's an ad coming up, and a spot, sorry about that, spot coming up about spark plugs. It's a tech tip. Where are we at here? Tech tip Cessna 172, ladies and gentlemen. Spark plugs are a very important part of the car. A lot of people think they go forever and ever and ever. No, it ain't that way. The old spark plugs when I was a kid in the old V8 Chevy, I got a 304 V8 in one of the Jeeps. I got a 327 in one of the Jeeps. Those spark plugs were meant to last about 15, 16,000 miles. They're made out of copper, right? Just spark plugs. They could have said champion. They could have said champion. They could have said champion. When I was a kid, they said champion. They were made in America. They went, you know, maybe year, maybe year and a half. Nowadays, they tell you, on my old gas rig in the old Ford, they said it was good for 100,000 miles. The problem is they're not. The things disintegrate, the gap widens out, and the problem is with the new ignition things, if you've got eight coils trying to drive those things and you're trying to drive a spark double the distance it was supposed to, the coil doesn't like it, the electrical system doesn't like it. A spark plug, nowadays, I know they're expensive, there's like $17 or something for the iridium thing. And the old ones were like, when I was a kid, 79 cents. The problem is if you ruin one of these coils, the car stops running. Done. One coil actually stopped the car. The whole emission thingamabob computer says, no, without that coil, we're not even in breakdown mode. We're done. We're not even, I call it limp home mode. We're done. We're parking. Get it to the guys at Perfection Auto Works. Call Mike. Get an appointment, 323-8650. This is part of the 26-point inspection I talk about. This is why the red truck's down there. It's got a tiny problem, but I'm doing the front-to-back, side-to-side, top-to-bottom check on it. I'm making sure this thing's right. We've got a new venture coming up, and I need that truck to work just exactly perfect. Guys at Perfection Auto Works know how to make my stuff perfect because they've been practicing in it. I'm sorry. They've been practicing in this town perfection for 25 years right now. Everybody who goes down there knows. I don't talk about them without using them. I can't have a sponsor that I don't interact with. It just won't work, ladies and gentlemen. Also brought to you by Danny at Biomed LLC. Call Mike. Oh, I'm sorry. You can also check Mike out at perfectionautoworks.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're open 4 days a week. And in those 4 days, they do more than most people do in seven. Paul, I will get to you. I'm not dissing you, sir. Danny at Biomed LLC, my other sponsor, better half of me, my level, my ground rod, my root cord, ladies and gentlemen. I know I owe you. I hate to bring my guitar down here when it's 120 degrees outside. The love of my life, the girl that keeps me grounded in reality, calls me crazy when she has to, but knows I'm not when I'm not, which it's a 90-10 relationship, me being crazy to be me and normal. Danny's been with me and actually supplying amnio technology to other people throughout the country. I was trying to explain this to a guy. It's not stem cells, ladies and gentlemen, but inside the United States of America, it is as close as we can get. It's human amnio fluid spun down to its best level where you get the best cells you can, the cells that grow babies, right? And it also helps joints, knees, backs, elbows, I don't know, hips and ankles regenerate after surgery and in conditions like I got where you've just got complete breakdown failure, it's called. Find Danny at biomedllc.org anytime. You can text me, 780-8539, and I will explain what goes on there. And no, you can't get stem cells in America. Your government, wait a minute, what'd your government say? Way back in the day, I was reading my old, what's that called? The Federalist Papers. Remember that? Oh man, these guys were badass. It was John Jay. It was Jimmy Madison, or Jim. Me and Jim are on first name basis now. Alexander Hamilton. Basically, all three of them were just purebred statists. When I'm reading this, I said, okay, what did Jimmy Madison say? And I actually probably one time in the studio said he was a good guy. He said this, very simply, in framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, semicolon, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. Everything you need to know about your government is in that document right there. It's Federalist 51, written in 1787. If you need the book, ladies and gentlemen, 780-8539, I'll mail it to you, or I'll FedEx it to you. And you can pick it up yourself and see that that's James Madison. According to some people, Jefferson wrote the Constitution. That's what probably what they teach you at TUSD. No, Jim Madison, father of the Constitution. He wanted to make sure he understood you must first enable the government to control the governed. Ask people that are in business if they're controlled. I'll explain how that goes here in the next probably 6 to 8 weeks. I'll run through this entire system of jumping through governmental hoops of flaming human excrement to open my next endeavor in this town. Also brought to you by guys who had been through it. The guys at Frontier Towing, right down the thoroughfare at 3630 South Dodge. As always, providing a moral and ethical solution to people I don't want broke down on the side of the road. And I especially don't want people smashing into each other on the side of the road, which, again, everybody out there that's driving a car sees it way too often. I don't like it. I'm not a huge fan of it. I think that it is an act of violence to collide into someone else. I use these words very carefully. Collision is not an accident. An accident is a collision sometimes. If a deer jumps in front of you, it's an accident. If you are playing with your stereo, your cell phone, your child, I don't know, eating a double flipping big whatever you buy out of a window, and you smash into someone, that is a collision. That is not an accident. Accidents happen when, you know, you just bought a brand new set of tires and you're driving down the road and the brand new tire on the front explodes because of crappy manufacturing techniques in China or India or Pakistan. And when the tire explodes, you go off the road. That's an accident. Again, if you're driving too fast and you don't look out the window and you run into someone in front of you, that's a collision. And we are exceeding all levels of collision in this country. Every single week it goes up, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't like it. If it happens to you, do anything you can to get away from the road into a safe position. It's called mitigate the danger, right? Your personal protection is your personal responsibility. I see these people, they got two little bumps. You know, Toyota Prius runs into a piece of crap smart car, and they stand in the road on their cell phones. It looks like, you know, both of them, there's no water. You know, ideally, people, can we just move? Can we evolve? Get your crap off the road. Then you can call your friends and put it on Facebook, for God's sakes. Paul, how are you today? Call the guys if you're in trouble, 748-1100. Paul, I'm sorry about that. You know I have to get through that or I wouldn't be on the radio. Paul, I am so sorry for the wait. I know it's late. What is today? 24 August, year of our Lord, 2019. Call Paul. Paul called 790-2040. Nuclear Cox says, 121, how have you been, sir?
Well, I've been pretty good out of state quite a bit since I talked to you last time. But I can tell you this latest thing, and it's upset me pretty bad. I tell you, I had, you're from Utah, one of my best friends from Bluff, Utah, Indian, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
Still in the mud over in Vietnam. When we came back, and what happened in Waco, Texas, just tore my heart out that Uncle Sam could destroy 90-some Christian women and children and a few men. And then what happened at Ruby Ridge, that our wonderful FBI sharpshooters killed some people trying to be on their own. And no one around here now seems to associate any of those things with some of the people in this country deciding that they want to decide to do the same thing themselves. If Uncle Sam can do it, they can do it. And I think it's going to continue until Christianity comes back to this country. And when that is, I don't know. We'll have to pass some new laws, I suppose.
Paul, that I'm going to tell you one thing. That in itself has been, in 3.7 years, the most intelligent thing that's been said on my show. And I'm talking way over my head. These people in government, that activity at Waco, when they killed, and the actual number, when the tanks actually pushed the thing in, they pushed it all to the ground, they put in CS gas, they threw in fire, they killed 73 people that day in the name of stopping child abuse. They killed in Ruby Ridge, ladies and gentlemen. And just in case you want to do a little GTS, you want to Google that crap, get on DuckDuckGo. Don't Google that crap. His name was Lon Horiuchi. He is a paid murderer. You want to see a guy take a chance with his life? He is a paid murderer from the FBI hostage roasting team. It's called HRT, ladies and gentlemen. Lon Horiuchi is an unconvicted first-degree murderer of the highest order employed by the FBI, paid by federal taxpayers. You guys go bang your friggin' war drums and be happy about your FBI, your CIA, your undeclared wars, and that murder, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? I'm changing this whole show, Paul. When I get back, I'm going to tell you what this guy did. I'm going to tell you he is an absolute friggin' first-degree murderer of highest order, employed by the government, protected by the government, and not once but twice, ladies and gentlemen. This guy's a proud murderer. He's a proud murderer of innocent human life. And Paul, you nailed it. If the government can get away with the Trail of Tears, killing the Apaches, I mean, on and on and on ad nauseum, damn near genocide, you're correct. The 63, my deal is the 63 decision, 8-1 decision with the Warren Court. Oh, these wonderful people of the Warren Court that investigated Kennedy's death. 8-1 decision. They took on Pennsylvania when Pennsylvania still had a state law that said kids read the Bible in school. 8-1 decision in the Supreme Court wrecked it. And that, in 1963, ladies and gentlemen, may have been the beginning of the end. What do you think, Paul?
Did I lose you? Well, I think you're the best thing on radio, but
No, I'm just a regular guy. You know what's different, Paul, is me and you are working guys. I look at things differently, and then I'm also out of the media so bad, it's really gone a little crazy. I mean, it's hard for me to even look at this much evil at one time. I saw it for about 8 minutes last night. I was like almost a pound crap into my head because I got two people that weren't there, don't know anything about it, basically analyzing the situation, don't know anything about, a semi-automatic or an automatic, an assault rifle versus a battle rifle. You basically, I could go to a skating rink and get a 15-year-old kid and drag him outside, throw him in front of Fox News, and Fox News or CNN or MSNBC would go, do you know anything about the shooting in El Paso? No. Well, let's talk about it. Like, what? Nobody was there. Oh, I'm sorry, Paul. I get a little weird about this. It's only 255 miles exactly. I GTS this. I Google mapped it. 255 miles from my house. I'm way out on the east side. 255 miles away. Again, my 8-foot string, it doesn't affect me. What affects me is there was two in one weekend that were big numbers, Paul. And it's going to go exponential if we aren't very careful. And I'll tell you what me and you can do. I advocate don't hit and don't steal.
Well, I can tell you what, if we keep sending our young kids to schools and insisting to them that it's not necessary that the teachers or some of their other sick kids have to know whether they're boys or girls, what kind of a mental condition are they going to be in when they complete the U of A? I tell you, they're going to be over in El Paso.
Oh, man, you got it. We got a pronoun problem. And it's being, again, I mean, the hard part is we can talk about the public schools, but are we, I got to take a break, Paul. Are we as taxpayers complicit in the crime, especially business taxpayers that are the highest taxed in Arizona and Tucson or wherever the taxing authority is that you live within? The businesses are the highest taxed people, and they're the ones least served by the education system, because the business owners want the kids to come out functional, where they can come in, know what a hammer is, a tape measure, and of course we don't know that, screwdriver, wrench, no, don't know any of that. I mean, can they come in and just say, sir, how can I start today? No, they're going to text me on the way and go, I'm going to be 30 minutes late. And that's what we're raising right now, and we're in deep trouble. Again, if you got kids, get them out of school. That's all I can say. Oh, Paul, I got to take a break. Gun's going to get us out. As you guys know, ladies and gentlemen, music's a little bit different today. I took every single song from before I was born. We all know the words to them. Of course, you know it. Brush Fires of Freedom. We are huge fans of not dragging our knuckles, not licking windows, and not being talking monkeys on a flying rock. Without our women, ladies and gentlemen, we are nothing more and nothing less than going against everything in the Bible, and everything we want to be is better than we were yesterday. I'd like to say thank you to Danny for being the love of my life. Happy birthday to Rebecca Emery, the matriarch, if I can use a big word, three syllables, ladies and gentlemen. Put that one as a mark on the window or door or something with lipstick. We will be right back in 2 minutes and about 41 seconds on Brush Fires of Freedom. You got anything to say? 790-2040. I appreciate the gift of each and every one of you in the audience as valuable time. We'll be right back. No, I've only been gone since last week. Ladies and gentlemen, the Frex.org studio at 10:30 a.m. The Voice, Tucson's continuing solution for live local organic radio from the heart, body, mind, soul, and spirit of me. Oh, I'm on fire now, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you, I'm one of these guys. You say two words to me, Waco and Ruby Ridge, but I've got one. I want to do one thing every week where we try to get better, right? Just a little bit better every week, and I'm going to do a really short one. I go a little bit into it. It's eight things. It's actually nine. I've got I've got two bonus. It'd be nine. I'll just do nine. I'll throw the bonus thing out. Things you can do in the very first hour of your day to make your life better. Real simple, and as far as I can tell, none of them cost you a nickel. It's free. It's change in behavior that makes the day better. Here's the deal, guys. I'm going to be completely honest with you. About 90% of us, when we get into a car, there's going to be a problem. As soon as you turn the corner onto Broadway, I'm sorry, there's going to be an asshat trying to ruin your day. There's going to be some jackwad out there that doesn't know how to do what I say. Practice the golden rule. That means don't get 10 feet behind the guy in front of you. You're not going to get there any quicker, and you may cause a collision. Number one thing, and this is a tough one, this is one of the hardest habits to break, and I was talking to a clinical psychologist about this and what it's doing to little kids between 10 and 17, and it also affects adults, which we all are, we hope. Number one, don't wake up and immediately run to the phone to find out what's on your social media feed, because basically, you live your own life. If you run to the phone and try and worry about that, what you're doing is you're ruining what's called your information action ratio. In other words, your mind has the ability to process X amount of information. In the old days, if we go back just 120 years, the amount of information you could take in was basically within an 8-mile radius of you. The amount of action you could take, and I've said it over and over, take your 4-foot string, put your washer on the end, and swing it. Your action index to your information index. It's the information action ratio. Your information action ratio is so high in this country right now, you overload yourself with information about, I don't know, Sean, you know what? We ought to call the politicians. Me and, you know, you got a radio show. We should do something about Syria. We should bomb Afghanistan. We should make that into glass. And I'm like, when did you go to Afghanistan? Whoa. I'm like, what did they do to you? 19 Saudis flew into a building. Okay, well, God forbid we talk about facts. Just leave, and I do something now that really ruins everybody's life. My phone stays outside of my room. I don't want anything to do with it. Beds are for sleeping, and if you're adults, we don't have to go into the next one. Beds are for sleeping. Don't need to take digital devices in there. Plug the thing in outside the room. Go in, go to sleep, get done with it. In the morning, get up. Now, here's the next thing. When you get up in the morning, very good idea. This is one of my favorites. First thing in the morning, don't run to the coffee, don't run to the juice, don't run to the food. Get yourself 8 to 10 ounces of water in your gut as fast as you can. It starts you out to win. It starts your body working before you go into any of the sugar, protein, fat, or anything you're going to do for breakfast. 8 to 10 ounces of water. Just go. It's real simple. I keep the little bottle next to my bed, or I keep one right next to my coffee pot. Before I make my coffee now, I'm drinking that water first thing in the morning. Sets me up to win. Number three now, and this is a tough one. This can be argued over and over and over. My deal is first thing in the morning, go hardcore protein. as fast as you can, protein and fat in the morning. A lot of people will disagree with this. The oatmeal thing, the fruit thing, I don't have a problem with this. This sets your body up in a metabolic setup with the proteins and fats in the morning. You limit the amount of insulin in you, and you keep your sugar level at a good level when you do 2 hard-boiled eggs, 1 slice of lean ham. You can even, I'm not like promoting like greasy sausage or whatever, but lean ham, lean pork chop, chicken in the morning is okay too, guys. I don't know, chicken and waffles are pretty popular. This is something you can try now. It's something you can try. I know that carbs in the morning have been sold to us by the American government for, I don't know, 30 years. But if you go proteins, it sets you up in a glycemic level to start burning calories earlier in the day. Keep your energy level right. Keep your insulin out of your blood. That's a good thing. Number 4, when your alarm goes off, don't hit the snooze button. This is a very bad thing for your body. If you're sleeping, you wake up, you hit the snooze button. If you go back to bed for 10 minutes and you manage to fall asleep, your body goes into a sleep cycle. It doesn't complete the sleep cycle. And as some people know, if you just get up, your body's like, okay. But if you go back to sleep for that 8 to 10 minutes, sometimes most people, and I am one, you feel tireder after that little short sleep. If you don't go back for 30 minutes and let your body do the complete sleep cycle, you're really setting yourself up to fail. If you have time to not get up, you know, if you need to get up at X and you know you can hit the snooze 3 times, just set your alarm for when you got to get up and practice personal responsibility. When the alarm goes off, get up. Number 5, and this is a tough one, ladies and gentlemen. I've tried to be this guy for 30 years. You know, get up and you're going to go basically swing hammers all day on a railroad or throw blocks all day and unload a 400,000-pound transformer. Don't get up and complain. Setting yourself up to fail, right? Get up and be happy first. If you have a partner, go be happy with her for a little while first. That way when you get to work, people see you smiling. They're like, and this is adult show, guys. I'm not going into the complex details of it. Get some happy in your life first thing in the morning. There's no need to get up and go, I didn't want to get up today. Well, if you didn't want to get up today, then don't. But don't complain about it. You're setting yourself up to fail. You're setting yourself up. There are receptors in the brain that see you complain to yourself, and the receptors actually set you up kind of like an oddball dopamine thing. It makes you unhappy. Number 6, get your life, and it's called return your area to neutral. This is a thing I learned in an airplane one time. Well, you know, the guy was teaching me how to fly. A little bit, you know, and he goes, okay, you pull back. It's a little Cessna 150. It's got like 110 horsepower. You know, he kind of puts the thing, shows him what a stall is, you know. In other words, you got too much. You're trying to go too fast. You don't have enough power to pull the thing. Air doesn't go over the wings fast enough. That's called a stall. He goes, hey, let it go to neutral, guys. Take your friggin' hands off the thing. The plane will go to neutral, comes out of its climb, goes to neutral, or it starts to fall and it gains speed, gains airflow over the wings. This is physics, guys. And it goes back to flying again. Real simple. Get to neutral. My thing in the way I'm reasoning, good God. For the English speakers in the audience, I'm trying to say getting back to neutral when you get out of bed, if you sleep in bed, I sleep on bed. Straighten your bed up. If you use your sink, I keep a little rag by my sink. I do my shaving at the sink. I clean all my area up. I put my razor in my little razor hanger. I've got the little brush for my face and whatnot. I clean all that up, put it away, clean the sink. I use the rag. I clean the sink. I'm bringing everything back to neutral. In other words, neutral. The neutral condition is the bed is made. The bathroom is left the way it was. I do the shower, and I'm not, Danny will call me out in a minute. I do the shower. I've got a squeegee in there. My theory is I'm supposed to take a shower and then squeegee the walls, you know, or not the walls, the glass, so there's not spots on it. That's called bringing it back to neutral. In my other shower, I keep a little spray bottle of this stuff I make. When I get done in the shower, I spray the entire shower. I spray the shower curtain because we don't want things growing in my house. I'm kind of weird about this. I'm kind of a germ freak. Rick, I will get to you after the break. I know I'm running late. All right, number 7, if you can make a plan, work the plan. Patton said it a long time ago. That's George Patton, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the best laid plan is all great until first shots are fired, then it goes to hell. But if you can, make a plan, work the plan. Number 8, and this is a very tough one. The Americans have been trained to do this since I was like 0.0. Don't get up in the morning and run to the news to have other people start your day off crappy. This is a tough one. A lot of people say, oh, I got my cup of coffee, I got my oatmeal, I got my two eggs, I got my piece of lean ham right here. Got a nice piece of cantaloupe. I got to read the paper. Okay, here's the deal, guys. If it bleeds, it leads. Setting yourself up to fail. Those newspapers are not outselling the story of dog didn't bite man. They're basically trying to ruin your day. And if they're not ruining your day, you might not buy the newspaper anymore. I don't like that idea. And number nine, one of the most healthy things you can do, Rick, I will take a quick break and I will get to you. I will let you run this out. Be consistent about your waking time. This is a very bad habit in the American experience. And people, I call it a one-hour swing. If you normally get up at 5 o'clock, your one-hour swing is 30 one way, 30 the other. If you get up at 5 on the weekend, get up at 5:30. Now, my deal is I got this horrible thing. I usually get up 4, depending on what's going on. I get up somewhere between 4 and 5. That one-hour swing for me would be between 3:30 and 5:30. And I know it's kind of a mess right now. But if you can keep a consistent wake-up time, it makes you a lot more healthy. A lot of people realize, oh, I'm asleep in on Saturday, and you sleep until, even if you didn't stay up all night, you know, you went to bed at normal time, 10 or 11 o'clock. If you sleep in and you get up at 10, you start almost, a lot of people feel more lethargic than if they had kept their normal sleep pattern. Last night we went to a concert. I didn't get to bed till about 1 o'clock. I think I woke up about 4:45 this morning. I didn't go back to sleep or anything. I mean, that's kind of my normal kind of kicking around time. And I start moving around. Now all of a sudden I finally get my music running and I'm trying to bust some calories out, trying to think about girls, think about dancing, thinking about food, thinking about freedom. Get us out, John. We'll be right back. I'm sorry for the wait, Rick. I've got to run the show. You know how that goes. We'll be right back in 2 minutes and 45 seconds on Brush Fires of Freedom. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Burning calories like nobody else on the radio at 1030 KBY, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk from the heart, body, mind, soul, and spirit of me in the Facts.org studio. Rick, I am so sorry about the wait, my friend. How have you been? Are you in Moab? Or are you from Moab? Or Rick? I'm sorry. Rick? Oh, we lost him. Oh, Rick! John, see if you can find him. Let me get on to back. Of course, I'm going to be running. Rick. Don't need to stop por la Enrique. Sorry about that. See if you can catch him on the thing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, way back in the day, those of you that have not read the book is very disturbing. It's called The Ashes of Waco. You want to read the book? The Ashes of Waco. The cover-up. The absolute destruction of evidence. The government went out of its mind. Even more troubling, and what I talk about, Lon Horiuchi, you got him? Lon Horiuchi, what he did in Idaho, ladies and gentlemen, it was a town called Ruby Ridge. It was a wonderful little place we call the F Troop, and I will take my life in my hands over and over. The ATF, again, a murdering bunch of bastards I wouldn't piss on if they were on fire. Yet another bunch of tax revenuers that don't even need to exist in this country went and kind of hung this guy out to dry and said, oh, would you cut this shotgun off 1/8 of an inch shorter than the federal law? And all of a sudden, here comes an entire encampment, looks like the Marine Battalion in Fallujah, trying to hunt down a guy that, oh, and then because the media wants to listen to the government, the slaves out here, the sheep out here go, oh, yeah, he's a white separatist. No, ladies and gentlemen, he was a man that didn't want to be around other people, and he happened to not be of color. What did Lon Horiuchi do? Shot Vicky Weber while she was holding a baby. Shot Randy Weaver's son, I forget his name, thank God, in the back. Shot their family dog, ladies and gentlemen, in an act of Satanism that you got to read about. It wasn't, Fox News wasn't out there and CNN wasn't out there and Katie Couric, you know, was over here basically holding Bill Clinton's ass. She didn't want to tell anybody about it. Lon Horiuchi sat there from 100 and about 45 yards with a $3,700 308. Outfitted with a Swarovski 10x40 scope that cost the government, taxpayers, another $1,700. And he in an act of evil I can't even hardly describe, he sat there and he made that dead dog into hamburger with a .308 rifle. He just sat there and shot that dog and shot that dog and shot that dog and shot that dog. In very simple terms, ladies and gentlemen, it was an act of evil. Wasn't on the news for a reason. Mengele wouldn't pull this crap. Rick, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I've returned from the promised land.
You've been there and done that. You saw Moab.
I've been there. Yeah, that's it. So once you've been to Moab, it's like, what else is there? Everything else is like, nah.
It seems.
Like, eh.
Did you almost have to ask the question, Sean, why did you leave?
Yeah, Sean, why did you leave? Well, I think that question answers itself when people listen to you talk and they realize, right, you can draw a correlation of, you know what I'm saying. I don't want to infer anything, but yeah.
Not necessarily. I wish I could go back right now. I mean, the economic opportunities have changed in Moab. If you'd have been there when I left, you would have seen a broken town. The mine was shut down of approximately 3,400 to 3,600 people that was in the throes, I would say the throes of economic collapse when they closed the uranium mine down there. I think it was 1985. It was bad news. It was bad news.
When I was a kid here, not that long ago in Tucson, they shut down one of the mines, local mine, and I took had a karate instructor who worked at the mines, and then he had his own studio. And when I started working out with him, he had just got laid off. And so as I was a student over a period of time, he lost his house, his van, and then he was and he basically lost everything. And he lost the studio. And then we were practicing in a public park, because the mine shut down. So I understand.
Yeah, it was a horrible event, and the town came out. Yeah. Town came out okay.
And so the good thing now in these years later, I think the government realizes how important it is to have mining, not just for the jobs and the economic impact, but also for having minerals and materials for improving a country and improving the economy. And that's why Rosemont, what has it taken, 8 weeks to approve the Rosemont? I think it's approved, isn't it? Isn't it just 8 weeks to approve Rosemont Mine or something?
Yeah, it's like jumping through the government hoop of flaming fire to get a license to, I don't know, maybe have a side of the road hot dog cart or something like that. If you're going to do it,
wait a second.
It's not that big. It's private property.
Berkeley hippie, I think. I'm probably wrong. Filed another lawsuit. Isn't it in limbo again? Rosemont all over again. Rosemont copper mine in limbo.
It's the example of and again. You know what? I wanted to do this. This is very difficult for me. Because I have to fall back, and I have to get one more break in to actually keep my contracts with this studio or whatever. I don't, you know what? We don't have contracts. We have handshakes here. But this is very, very difficult for me every time. And when you go down, and you're one of the guys you've admitted on the air, you go down and write a check to those psychopaths down at the county. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation.
Yeah.
Do you consider, Rick, and I'm going to ask you a very difficult question. I reach in my pocket and I pull out this, and I understand that these are debt bucks. This is a Federal Reserve note. I guess it's not really property, but would you consider the cash in my pocket private property?
Yeah, it's probably not really yours. I'm going to go with the buzzer. I don't have a buzzer sound effect, but yeah, I'm going to say no, it probably belongs to the government because the government gave it to you. They printed it at least. And so, no, it's not yours.
I guess we're there. I guess this whole thing that I was going to go into, this idea of private property not being taken for public use. Now, again, I am a true originalist, although the court can't be. These guys, when they wrote that, private property was not, they would have said it. Real property meant real property. Private property is private property. That means a boat, a dog, cash, my gold, my computer, my pen, my book that says "Don't shoot the bastards yet."
Oh, right.
Sorry. No, it doesn't. Sorry. I don't have the book.
Right. An idea of this is the Third Amendment. Everybody forgets the Third Amendment.
No
quarter. The quartering of troops, right? And so part of that is the fact that your house is your kingdom, right? Magna Carta, I don't know, something like that. And the ideas that go back, right? And so the idea that the government can't say, hey, you're going to put these troops in your house, et cetera, and but no, your house is under your own dominion, and your house is your castle, and the government can't tell you. They can tell you, I guess, now they can, but the idea that you have some control over your personal property and your life.
It's ridiculous.
Is that ridiculous? Like, is that crazy?
First thing is, I would say that tonight, later, let's go Fahrenheit 451 with two books, 1984 and Brave New World. Rick, I have to take a break. John has got a big feather thing back here. He's like, Sean. I'll be right back in. Rick, I appreciate your call. I'll talk to you after the show. I know I've been hard to get along with. I'll be back in 2 minutes and 37 seconds on Brush Fires of Freedom at 10:30 a.m. KBY, The Voice. That's right, live in the Facts Not at Work studio at 10:30 a.m., The Voice. And ladies and gentlemen, that is not the Beatles. Everybody thinks, oh, that's the Beatles. No, this is, I think I'm going to do examples of this. The Beatles opened for those guys. It was the Swinging Blue Jeans, kind of like when Zeppelin opened for Spirit. Some of you people remember the little controversy about Stairway to Heaven that, oh no. Yeah. The Beatles opened for these guys down at, I think it was a caravan club in England. And ladies and gentlemen, I was not even anywhere near going into this. This Horiuchi guy, the FBI issued an unconstitutional, oh my God. They gave the FBI agents and the Denver SWAT team that was apparently called in there a license to kill. All right. Do we live in a constitution? Let's see. Let's see if the FBI.
Oh, golly gee.
This is back in 1992. If the FBI issues a license to kill order to an FBI agent, August 22nd, 1992, do we still live under this antiquated theory of law? Nor shall any person for the same offense be put twice in jeopardy of life or limb. Nor shall any be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. His defense was the Nuremberg defense. I was just following orders, Herr Commandant. The Denver SWAT team weren't they wouldn't play that game. These are civilian police, not the FBI, the Stasi, the Gestapo. Lon Horiuchi also ended up over in a fun little place called Waco 2 with his partners over there at the hostage roasting team. They killed people, and Janet Reno came out, lied through her friggin' ugly ass teeth, told the American people they were there over child abuse, and it was very simply, ladies and gentlemen, an unpaid $200 tax on some weapon they were accusing these people of. These people would, God forbid you grow up in a place called Utah, and you actually come from a place where, although they were unusual, and I understand it. They pushed their crap from Missouri and found the worst place that they could find that nobody else would want and say, we have an idea. It may not be the same as you Quakers. It may not be the same as you Puritans. And it may not be the same as you government pukes in Washington or the place in Missouri where we're just from. We have an idea when we get here to this giant land of salt lake. We want to be left alone. I will continue to say this until they hellfire this place. You people have been fooled. It's not the separation of church and state. It's the keep your freaking state out of my church. Where did you learn this? In some public government-owned mind-washing camp? You can't read the law that's supposed to govern the friggin' government? Next week, ladies and gentlemen, I will be back. It'll be Iron Maiden, Ozzy, Motley Crue, and I will come in here and go just as mad as I've always been. Don't hit, don't steal, guys. Practice the golden rule and love thy neighbor as thyself. It'll all work out. We'll see you next time at 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for Maurice in 5 minutes and 35 seconds.